All right. Welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with my wonderful friends, Betty and her daughter, Megan, all the way from Grand Rapids area, Michigan, Byron Center, to be exact. And you guys used to be a part of the ministry where I pastored in Indiana and Cornerstone. And look how many years ago that was. That was the late 80s. And here we are still in the ministry, Betty. How did that happen?
Because God saw us through, you know, even though there were a few years that separated us, one of us had that, you know, one of us took the time to say, hey, do you remember me by any
chance? Yeah, that was you saying that, yeah, to me.
That would be me.
And I said, no, I don't know you. I have no idea. No, that's not what I said.
Get away from me, you.
Get away from me, you.
Yeah, but you didn't. You said no. That was well. Yes, I would remember you.
How true.
You know, and it's just, you know, when we caught up, it's like we had never, you know, we'd never lost contact. We had just, you know, we just started from like where we left off.
Sure.
And you know, it didn't take long for us to reconnect and understand that you know time. Time goes by, but that friendship, you know, I give up my, you know, the Lord tells us that, you know, I give up my life, lay down my life for my friend. I would do that for you, my friend, because that's how close that God brings his people together.
Yes.
That, you know, you have a connection, you know, in
Amen.
The spirit, and that's where our connection is. You're older than I am. So, You have just a little bit more wisdom than I do, but not by much.
Okay, I don't think I'm that much older than you, but that's all right. We'll let you get by with that today.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, okay. and you know, I'm watching Megan, because I met you, Megan, when you were 9 years old, came to Cornerstone with your parents. I watching you grow up and my own kids and knowing all the stuff that all of these, you and my three, have been through with your families and your children, and you and Ben losing little Grayson, 4 years ago now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hard to believe. Yeah, 5 in April. It's crazy,
that?
No. And just a lot of things that my kids have been through too. And just the way that God has always taken care of us, always sustained us. We serve him because he's a loving, good, good father. And we love him and he loves us. Megan, do you want to comment on that? Because he sees us through those hard times too.
Oh, he does. And, you know, and he sends the right people, Pastor. And,
true,
you know,
true.
And he unites us in family together through, you know, through the blood of the Lamb. And,
Amen.
You know, I'll never forget, you know, here I've got my wonderful mama and I've got you, my other wonderful mama.
There you go.
You know, it's through those times, like especially when I had just lost Grayson, actually it was right before we made the decision to pull life support, and I got to talk to you on the phone. And
yes.
It's just how amazing that the Holy Spirit just gives you those people at the right time.
Yes.
So, you know, he's there, but he also puts the people in our path that help us through those times.
Right.
And they're also there through the times of joy.
Yes.
And then we help them through the rough times. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just those foundations that we build through being in the body of Christ and
right.
being unified with other believers about how it changes our walk on this planet. It's an awesome thing.
It is. And I think that's a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about here as we start this second hour. And it has to do with God's perfect timing in our lives. And I'm going to talk more about that and teach more on it next week. But we're going to introduce the topic today because there are no coincidences with God. They're not. God is intentional. And when you study how he planned the birth of Jesus before the foundation of the earth and began to drop these nuggets of prophetic word into Isaiah, into these different prophets, Daniel, different ones began to speak about this Messiah long before it happened. You see it in Genesis, you see it in the book of Numbers, you see it in Jeremiah, you see it in Micah, you see it in the book of Hosea, And without going into all those, I'm just saying that God had the plan from before he created the earth, and he knew the exact right timing to speak what he was going to do. And that to me is truly amazing. How great is our God? Listen to this song as we start our second hour. And please don't go anywhere. Call a friend and tell them to join in and listen, because God is moving in this show. It's a mighty anointed show.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God.
Praise you, mighty God.
Sing with me, have a ray.
Amen.
Is our God, and all will see how great. How great is our God.
Praise God. I love that Chris Tomlin rendition of that song. Amazing. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in Matthew chapter 1, and we're talking about God's perfect timing. Now, we know that it was prophesied that the Messiah would come through the family of Abraham and the family of David. And one of David's, or one of Abraham's descendants, of course, was Jesse, David's father. And so then here comes David, and through David and Bathsheba came Solomon, through the line of Solomon. Then we see that the stepfather of Jesus, or I guess the earthly father, but not biological father, right? Joseph came through that line, the line of Solomon. Mary, the mother of Jesus, came through the line of one of David's sons, and that was Nathan. And so this was perfectly fulfilled, that Jesus the Messiah would come through the line of David. He came through the line of one of David's sons, Nathan, for Mary, and for Joseph, the step-parent, I suppose, he came through Solomon. Now, I want to look at kind of verse 16, I think it is, of Matthew 1. Jacob had Joseph, Mary's husband, the Mary who gave birth to Jesus, the Jesus who was called Christ. Wow. Next verse, 17 of Matthew 1, is very important. There were 14 generations. Now, we're going to talk about God's timing here, people. 14 generations from Abraham to David. Okay, 14 is 7 times 2. Would you all agree? 7 is God's complete number, 7 days in a week, correct? God loves his numbers, and I love God's numbers too, because they all say something to us. The number 7 is God's completeness, okay? So he did that, double that. 7 times 2 is 14 generations from Abraham to David. Another 14, not 15, not 13, another 14 from David to the Babylonian exile. That's a whole nother thing that happened. But then again, there's another 14 generations from the Babylonian exile to the birth of Jesus. Now, the word I want to throw out there, and I want both Betty and Megan to talk about this, is God's intentional plan. Go, Betty.
One of the things that we have to put into perspective is that each one of us has a, and I don't like to use the word, but we have a destiny.
Yeah,
we have,
sure.
God has a plan
right.
for each of us.
Amen. Amen.
God has an intention for you, our sweet listeners.
Yes.
That he wants you to complete.
Right.
And when we start to travel down the road that we call life, sometimes it can be hard. It can be,
yes,
just, you know, very distracting. It can be very, very uneven. There might be some potholes. There might be some things that we have to encounter, but that gives us the chance to have perseverance. He makes us stronger, because sometimes we have to withstand the storm. You know, we've got to put our back to the wind and say, okay, God, this is where I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you in
sure.
the storm.
In the middle of the
I'm
storm.
I'm going to praise
yep.
you in the middle of it. I'm going to praise mm-hmm. you at the beginning, the middle, and the end, because God has something wonderful for us at the end of the road that we're on. Sometimes it takes longer for one than it does the other, but God's timing is perfect. I mean, it is right on time.
It is so right on, yes.
And we have to be persistent. We have to be in that waiting room, maybe longer. Maybe Megan has to be in there longer than I do, or our, you know, vice versa. But at the end of that waiting room, when that door opens and God's hand is leading you to be a greeter, to be a children's minister, or maybe you have to say goodbye to something that is of this world, then you have to say goodbye to it. God has something greater. God
exactly.
has more of a blessing for you
he does.
On the other side.
Yeah, he does.
On the other side of that storm. And I mean, there are so many things that come to my mind of how God has brought me through, how he's brought Megan through, and also you, Pastor Marcia, and a lot of our listeners. I know that the storm that you're going through right now just seems impossible. But without that impossibility, that miracle is on the horizon.
Amen.
And that's what we have to look forward to. That's where we have to set our eyes like flint. And we've got to keep persevering on. We've got to keep on running that race and understand that if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen. Amen.
It was tough for me a few months ago. I have to admit, you say, well, Betty, you know, you talk the talk. Do you walk the walk? Yes, I do. I have tried so hard. And, you know, just like today in church, I surrendered. I said, God, I am so sorry for some of the things that I doubted you in.
Right.
Some of the predicaments, I'll call them, that I've been in. I thank you that you let me see the light, that I was not doing what you wanted me to do. Opened again a door for me to go through and say, okay, are you going to trust me enough to take my hand and go with me through it? And I looked at him and I go, I really don't have a choice, do I?
Right.
But that's how in my prayer time and in my praise time, my worship time, that's how I communicate with God.
Right.
It's so simplistic that we make it complicated, that when we get into those circumstances, and there's one person I'd love to be able to pray for you on the air now, but I won't because it's private, is I want you to know that God is with you.
Yeah.
God is for you. And if you can just hold on just a little bit longer and trust him, your prayers are going to be answered, and they're going to be multiplied like in the scriptures where, you know, he multiplies blessing upon blessing if we just stand and stand firm and
Amen.
Stand strong. He is a God.
Amen.
He's a God that his word does not come back void.
Yes.
His word is true. And we just have, you know, Pastor and Megan, we just have to stand and let him work. Let him do the work. And, you know, that song, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. Let him have the wheel for a chance. Change people. Let him show you what he can do.
Amen. Amen. Which leads us perfectly into verse 18 of Matthew 1, because the birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. And before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. Now, that would be a deal breaker back in those days, and he could put her away and not marry her for something like that or worse. But in parentheses, it says it was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. And Joseph, chagrined but noble. See, we got a kind man here, Joseph. We've got a good man. He was noble. He didn't like the circumstance, but he determined to take care of things quietly so that Mary would not be disgraced. This talks about the nature of Joseph, the step. Or the earthly father of Jesus, what a kind man he was. What a good man he was. And here he is trying to figure things out in verse 20. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. Okay? So often God speaks to us in dreams or passages of scripture or something that someone says from maybe a teaching or whatever. In this case, Joseph had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream. Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves. That's what his name means. Or God is salvation, or Jehovah is salvation. And because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph was instructed by an angel in a dream when he did not know which way to turn. And you know what? God will show us in odd ways sometimes what to do in given situations. But then the angel goes on and says, this would bring the prophet's embryonic sermon to full term. And we're going to look at that verse in Isaiah 7:14 in a minute. But I want, Megan, I want you to talk about how, what kind of a man Joseph was, but also the fact that he was in the plan of God, and God knew that this would not be an easy thing for Joseph to hear, that his fiance was already pregnant, right?
Of course not, because it changed Joseph's plan.
Exactly. And God does change our plans from time to time, doesn't he?
Oh, boy, he does. He does all the time. You think that you're going in the right direction, and it's like, whoa, the map just changed on me. Okay,
right.
Lord, here we go.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, I really wish that there were more men walking this earth as noble as Joseph.
Absolutely. Kindness. You see kindness
here.
You see goodness. He was looking for a way to not make Mary embarrassed. He didn't know what to
do.
Exactly. You know?
He was willing to do whatever necessary to take care of her.
Right.
And he had to throw out, you know, every plan that he had for him and Mary, because there really was a wild card thrown at him by the Holy Spirit. I mean, it really was.
Who could
imagine, like, you have this dream that, you know, that your future wife has become pregnant with the human being that's here to save the world?
Right.
Like,
how bizarre is that? Wow.
Yeah.
Right. Like, not just an ordinary baby. This is no ordinary baby.
Exactly.
This is God in flesh. Right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. And for him to do what he did, it just really blows my mind.
Doesn't it?
Because, yes, it's just a very honorable person, a man that cared for Mary deeper than you know, as deep as a man should.
Right.
Just as Jesus loves, you know, just as God loves the church, that's how much Joseph cared for Mary.
Yes.
And that is nothing but pure dignity to me.
Oh,
and
it is.
It really stands out how much of a true man he was after the heart of God, because he was willing to do whatever means necessary to protect her and our Savior.
Amen. Very, very honorable. You know, when you look at this verse that we see right here in Matthew chapter 1, quoted by the angel, angels know the word, and the verse that they chose was Isaiah 7:14. Well, again, we just saw 14 generations up here. 7 is 7 times 2 is 14, right? That's how you remember this verse, Isaiah 7:14. And it says this, and it's quoted here by the angel to Joseph. And Joseph and Mary grew up in Jewish homes. They knew this scripture. They knew that the prophet Isaiah had spoken this as a prophetic thing about the Messiah. And here it is. The verse is, watch for this, it says in the Message Bible. A virgin, Joseph, that's Mary. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. Oh, you're already going to know the sex of your child. No ultrasound needed. Okay. They will name him Emmanuel, which is exactly what Isaiah 7:14 says. And Emmanuel, Hebrew for God is with us. So the whole concept here that the angel imparted to Joseph was, hey, it's fine. You know what? The Holy Spirit impregnated her. It says that he overshadowed her. How did it happen? Not sure. But, I mean, anything's possible with God, right? And suddenly she is pregnant, but by the Holy Spirit of God, not by a human person, okay? And because of that, the angel says, let me tell you, let me just give you a little hint here. This is the fulfillment. Let's say that word together, fulfillment. Fulfillment. Betty,
fulfillment.
Megan, let's say it together. Fulfillment.
Fulfillment.
Because Matthew 1 and so much in the book of Matthew is so amazing how Matthew brings in the scripture that ties in the truth. Okay? And Matthew does it for the first time right here. In this verse, in Matthew chapter 1, about verse, 22, 23? 23, maybe. that, and he's quoting Isaiah 7:14. Remember, 7 times 2, 14. And a virgin will get pregnant and bear a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. The Hebrew meaning of Emmanuel is God with us. God came to earth in the form of a baby to be with us. To be with us. We're going to talk more about this after this Winona song that I love. I love to play this. It's the Messiah. Ooh, love this song. Here we go. That'll just get to you.
Must have been something being born in a manger. With the sheep from the fields and the stars shining over your head. Must have been something, seeing three wise men on their knees before a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah.
Oh, amen.
He's come at last. It's the Messiah. He's come at last. Must have been something, speaking the word of your father, with the promise of life and peace forever. Must have something, walking the streets of Jerusalem, with the sins of the world on the innocence of a man. Soon everyone will know it's the
song. It's the Messiah. Oh my, can you two imagine how that must have been for Joseph to have had that information delivered to him through an angel, that this is that fulfillment that you all been studying about for thousands of years here, about the Messiah that would one day come? Betty, talk to us. I mean, talk about an amazing thing. This is the Messiah.
Well, the neat thing about it is that, you know, they've read about it, they've heard about it, but they, I wonder if Joseph thought, me?
Yeah. Oh, you got it. Don't you think he did? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, it would just be almost unbelievable to think, okay, I've heard about the Messiah's coming, through the Holy Spirit, but then to think I'm the one that's
right.
involved in this. I am the one that's
yeah.
been chosen, and Mary has been chosen, and it would be hard to comprehend, but I think that once God gives you that inner peace and that
yes.
and that to know that yes, you are going to complete the task that I've given you to do.
Yeah.
You can't say no because you know that you are fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
Joseph was. He was fulfilling prophecy, and that was probably something that they held very sacred and very dear.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I ask us all to say the word fulfillment, because in the book of Matthew, you see this concept over and over again that, oh, hey, by the way, this is that scripture that was fulfilled. By the way, did you know that the birth of Jesus fulfilled that Isaiah 7:14 scripture? And let's take it to us for a moment, Megan, because so often I think that we feel that God cannot use us. We see Joseph used. We see Mary used. We see the prophets. We see the apostles. We see the disciples used of God. We see missionaries. We hear of pastors being used of God in foreign countries. But when it comes down to us on our everyday life, we think, how can that be? Kind of maybe like Joseph. How can God use me? Talk to me, Megan, about that. Talk to us.
Well, he can use you to minister to other people. He can use your testimony, your life, to minister to other people. A gateway into talking about why you walk a different walk here on the
right.
earth.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I have to give glory to the Lord because of the job that I have.
Right.
Because he uses little old me to deliver groceries to people's store.
Right.
And every day I go out, I tell the Lord, all right, Lord, let's give them a dose of the Holy Spirit. Let's leave it on the doorpost of these people's houses.
Right.
Lord, let's do it. Let's leave the joy
yeah.
wherever I go.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be.
That's hard for you, isn't it, Megan, to be joyful? That's kind of hard for you, isn't it? You're depressed a lot.
It's so hard, Pastor.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Audience, if you knew Megan, you would see how this job fits her perfectly, because she is never, to my knowledge, sad, depressed, discouraged. She's always thanking God and living. You're living what you preach, you know? You're practicing
Amen.
What you preach, you know?
Amen. And I have down moments. I really do. You know, there's times where you do wait on those people that, you know, just that joy that you carry, it just wasn't enough to change their day.
Right. Made it.
And it can be upsetting, but you know
sure.
what? I got to keep going because
right.
I'm doing the Lord's work. I want to do the Lord's work. And I keep telling him, Lord, I want more. I want more. And that's what we need to do, is be willing to do more. Let
yes.
him show you what he wants you to do. Go out and smile at people. I mean, it's the smallest things that can change
yes.
someone's outlook on their day.
Right.
And don't let the world affect you. You affect the world and infect it with the Holy Spirit. Infect it with the joy of the Lord.
Amen. And so it's a decision, isn't it? Just like Joseph had a decision here in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 1. Joseph woke up. He thought, I don't want to do any of that. No, that's not what he said. What's it say in Matthew 1:24? Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded him in the dream. He married Mary, but he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus. Whoa, Betty, talk about obedience. You love to talk about obedience, don't you?
Well, the one thing that, you know, when you're brought up, you know, in a worldly environment, you know, you're supposed to be respectful and be obedient. Well, the Lord expects us to be obedient when he asks us to do something. And a lot of times we'll run the opposite way. But then, in all actuality, when we come back, you know, that opportunity is still there. So in all perspective, is that obedience is an act of what the Lord has asked you to do. And I take obedience as being respectful of what my Heavenly Father has asked me to do.
Sure.
Doesn't
yeah.
necessarily mean that I'm in agreement with it, but eventually he lets me see, Betty, this is what I want you to do.
Right.
And by being obedient and saying, yes, Lord, yes, he uses me in a way that I never thought I could be used.
Exactly. Right.
It is because I said yes.
Mm-hmm.
I said yes, and I want to be an obedient child of God.
Amen.
I trip and fall every now and then, but you know what? He picks me up. He dusts me off and said, it's okay. I'm with you, no matter what circumstances you're going through. Baby,
exactly.
I am with you. And that's, I say, obedience sometimes can be difficult.
Oh, no doubt. Why? Why is it difficult for us? Why is it difficult for us to just obey what God tells us?
I think it's our ego. I think sometimes we, out of fear.
Right.
And I think that we hedge because we don't think that we're worthy enough. You know, God, why would you choose me? I mean, I don't know whether Joseph had those thoughts or not, but God, why would you use me to be the father of the Messiah? And the thing that you have to understand is that what we talked about in the first hour is that God uses ordinary people.
He does use ordinary people.
And those are the ones who are obedient. Those are the ones who lead with their heart.
Right.
And those are the ones who are willing to say, whatever it takes, God, for your glory, I'm willing to do it.
Well, absolutely. And it's not necessarily comfortable sometimes. It's not necessarily easy, do you think? I mean, there's so many times that we feel like, oh, wow, this is hard. God, you're asking me to do this. And maybe Joseph felt that way. Who knows? But when he had that realization that God was in it, talk to me about that, Megan, because that's what changed everything.
Well, when you know that God is in it, you know that you don't have to worry. Literally, you have nothing to worry about because he will work all things out for your good.
That's exactly right.
You know, when we quit fretting, when we quit worrying, and I'm telling you, you really got to change the lens on your camera. And
your focus has to change to, it does.
You've got to have a different view.
You do.
Life.
You do.
Because when you can do that, when you can come to grips that you have no control over your life and that you're okay with it, when you come to grips that you have to surrender to someone you can't see,
right?
Then your human brain will go, well, oh poop, I can't. You know, and the devil's going to go, oh no, I can't drive her nuts.
Right.
Change the lens on her camera. Oh no. But that change of that lens is such a magnificent thing to see, because you start seeing things more spiritually than
definitely.
Human, if that makes any
definitely.
Sense.
Definitely, yes, it does.
Because you'll learn that you don't have to wallow in the dirt, but now you get to stand on top of the mountain and praise him and continue your faith as strong as it was before whatever situation came at you. That's what Joseph could rely on.
Yes. And when we get to that point, one thing that God's been saying to me a lot in the last few weeks is, when you get to a point that you can't make it happen, whatever it is, that you in your own humanness can't change a person, this particular person, whoever, or your situation, that you can't do it, you know, then it's just like this whole thing with Joseph. In his humanness, he couldn't take back the fact that Mary was pregnant. You know, what's he going to do about that? Well, he couldn't do anything about it but go along with the plan and purpose of God. When we get to that point in our lives, then God can change our circumstances, I believe, Betty. When we get to a point we realize, hey, I can't do anything. I just submit. I just surrender. I surrender to win. I can't fix this one. I have that situation going on with a couple members of my family, and I can't change the situation for them, you know?
No, but you know what? We become so we get to that point where we're tired of struggling. We're tired of trying to push our own agenda into something that God's pushing against you, saying, no, I don't want you to go this way. I want you to go this way. So we have our will, you know, we have a choice of which way we go. And once you reach that point where, like, piggyback on what Megan said, is that you're down in the dirt, you're down so low that the only way you can go is up. And then
yep.
we realize
yep.
that we let go of self.
Yes.
And let God take a hold of us and let us and project us, propel us into where he wants us to be. And it could be just a step. It could be, you know, getting you out of your comfort zone, getting you into a new realm where you blossom.
Yes.
Where you don't feel like you're defeated. You feel like that, you know, I'm blooming where I'm planted.
Yeah.
You know, I'm able to breathe. I'm able to have that breathing room where I don't have to have that discouragement, that shroud of heaviness, because it's been lifted and that joy comes back.
Amen.
That's what happens when we are obedient and when we say, yes, Lord, yes.
Amen.
And Pastor, it's tough.
It's tough.
Sometimes it is a tough one to swallow. But once we let go of our own will and let God take over, it becomes a little bit easier. It's just almost
yes.
like getting back. You know, if you haven't ridden a bicycle for a while and you get back on and you think, oh, I'm going to fall on flat on my face.
Right.
But it comes back to you gradually.
Amen.
And that's what happens. What God uses is He's not going to give us anything that we can't handle.
Do. Right.
Because he knows each and every one of us.
Amen.
He knows each and every one of us.
Woo, Betty, if you need to leave us, we appreciate very much. And if not, if you're hanging on, that's fine. But let's do a song. That's What Mercy Is by New Song. And you know what? What you're describing is God's mercy in our lives. You know, it's more than what we can do. We're not punished. We are led gently into the perfect will of God, and then it's up to us to obey. You know, Joseph was not berated by the angel. He was just given the answer, you know? That's what God's mercy is. Betty, if you're sticking around, okay, great. Thank you very much. If you're not and you need to go, I understand, and thank you again very much. And then we'll finish out with Megan. So That's What Mercy Is by New Song.
It's a blue sky morning, it's a new day dawning, it's a million miles from a past that's haunted you forever. It's a prayer that's answered, it's a second chance for a life you never, ever even dreamed that you could live. That's what mercy is, it's a hand. Straight from heaven to a heart that's broken from the only one who make it whole again. It's a song of freedom sung for all who listen. There's a door wide open saying all you weary souls come right on in. That's what mercy is. It's a hand. No matter where you've been.
That's what mercy is.
Oh, God's mercy. Hand that reaches down to us. Oh, and mercy there for Joseph is so amazing. And mercy for Mary, too. That this man stuck by her. Talk to us, Megan, about this. I mean, that's what mercy is. God's mercy. It's his nature. He is full of mercy and loving kindness. That's who he is.
Absolutely. And, you know, to me, what envelops mercy also is that with mercy, he's taking care of us.
Amen.
He's granting us favor
right
with the walk that we're walking.
Yes.
And that's what he did for Mary and Joseph, is he laid the path out and protected them. As people will find out as you speak for the rest of the, you know, the miracle season here of Christmas. But it's that mercy is what keeps us thriving as Christians.
Oh, it does. It does.
And it's that, it's almost like a shield.
Yes.
That gets put around us.
Right.
It's a shield of favor and protection.
It is.
And it's just awesome because, you know, the people that needed it the most was back when Joseph was having to deal with having a fiance.
Yeah.
That was
impregnated,
and he wasn't even his wife.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, now today that's not looked upon as it was back then.
But back then, yeah.
Yeah, back then it was just, you know, just awful.
Awful.
But, you know, without God's mercy, they wouldn't have survived.
Right.
They wouldn't have survived.
And it's his mercy that sent the angel with the message, oh, it's Isaiah 7:14 being fulfilled now in your life. That was a merciful thing for God to do, to send the angel to Joseph in a dream to confirm that this is okay, this pregnancy, because she got pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by some other guy, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't like she was sleeping around with the men
no.
of the town.
No.
No, not at all. She was a virgin.
Right.
And, you know, that's another significant part of this story.
It is.
Is that God impregnated her womb.
Yes.
By his will.
Right.
It is a true, absolute miracle.
Total miracle. Total miracle. And, you know, all through this show, we've been talking about Jesus Messiah and how a God planned from before he even formed the earth. He knew what the plan was to save humanity. He knew that we would all be fallen, and that we would all have these natures of wanting to do everything our own way and do it my way and not God's way, etc. He knew that. So he had to plan ahead, and he planned before the foundation of the earth, before he created the earth, for his son Jesus to come to this earth and show us the Father. Megan, I don't know about you, but that blows my mind.
Pastor.
He planned it all. It's all God's plan, you know?
It was. And, you know, there's still a plan that he has that's yet to unfold for us.
Yes.
And that's what's so cool. Is
right.
That, you know, all along, through even back to the creation of Adam and Eve, is that God created us for a purpose. He wanted a family.
He wanted a family.
He wanted people to love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he wants us to love.
Amen.
And that's why, you know, he sent Jesus here for an even more impacting miracle story.
Yes.
That we get to live on, thrive on, we get to share that with other people. And it's a legacy
right.
that we have to uphold. And it really makes me feel empowered that I know that I'm an eternal being, and that
right.
I have
Amen.
I have something, I have a purpose to
yes,
live out.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus was born for, was
Amen.
That God's purpose came to this planet.
Well, and let's just talk about his name, because the angel says to Joseph, because the father would have been the one designated to pick the name. Usually it was named after the father, so in some form, like Joseph something or other. But in this case, the angel says, oh, and by the way, you're to name him Jesus, okay? And that name means Jehovah is our salvation. So that the biblical names, so many of them, meant so much to everybody around them. They knew what those names meant, okay? And it was not just a casual name you like and you pick out of a baby book. This was intentional. Again, God is a God of intentionality. He's intentional all through this story of the Messiah. He is intentional in our lives on a daily basis. He fulfills his word to us like he did to Joseph. And he said, you're going to have a boy baby, and the boy baby should be named by you, and we want you to name him Jesus, because his name signifies his mission. And his mission was, Jehovah is our salvation. Talk to me, Megan, about that. That blows my mind, too. I mean, so all these parts, 14 generations down through the line of Abraham and David, all everything we've been talking about in the show, I love talking about this because it shows the fulfillment of God's promises and it shows the intentionality of God. Talk.
Absolutely. And, you know, it just, and how amazing it was and is, no, I shouldn't say was, that it's all planned out.
All planned.
I mean,
right, all planned.
Yeah, right down to the little, tiny little detail.
Oh, yeah. By the way, name him this. Name him Jesus.
Exactly.
Because here's what that means. So don't name him that other name that you might like. No, you can name some of your other kids later those other names. You got to name him.
Exactly.
It's what happened. Jehovah is our salvation. And because we know Mary and Joseph went on to have six or seven other children. We don't know exactly how many. Most of them were boys. I think there were a couple girls. But still, I mean, he had plenty of time to use one of his favorite names later on. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Right.
You know, it's just the he is the ultimate planner. Like,
isn't he?
He just blows me away. I don't know how he does it. Like, he is the ultimate being because he takes care of every single one of us.
Yes.
Even the little details. Yes. Of, you know, what time he may wake you up in the middle of the night.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's absolutely amazing. Oh, I when I get to heaven, I just can't wait. I'm going to be like, God, can I just stand here and just watch what you do? Like, I just, it blows me away.
You know what? That's a very good point. His timing is precise because his plan has already been made. He carries out the plan with precise intentionality. He plans ahead. He does it on time. He sets his alarm or something. I don't know, on his iPhone. I don't know what he does. But I mean, every single thing happens exactly like it's supposed to happen because he has the Father's heart is to fulfill the promises that he has made. He is a promise maker and a promise keeper. Finish with that thought, Megan. I'll let you go to church after that.
No, you're totally fine. He is, you know, he knows the outcome of your life.
Right.
And the outcome of your life, I can guarantee you, is to live your life out in eternity in heaven.
Amen.
That, in fact, you know, earlier when you were talking about God's intention,
yes.
That's his intention.
Right.
It's for you to be an eternal being.
Right.
So, you know, if you haven't reached that point of your life, if you haven't made that decision, it's time. Because
right. Yes.
There's no greater time than now. It's not something that you need to put off because the sooner you're in, the more blessed you'll be.
Let's pray that prayer right now. If you'll pray that after each phrase, Megan,
absolutely.
Then anybody out there who is not sure right this moment that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, we want you to pray this prayer with Megan. If it is the sincere of sincerity of your heart, do it. If it's not, don't. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I acknowledge that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth as your son.
I acknowledge that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth as your son.
That he was born from a virgin to fulfill Scripture.
That he was born of a virgin to fulfill Scripture.
That he died on a cross and rose again.
That he died on a cross and rose again.
That you, Father God, raised Jesus from the dead.
That you, Father God, raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask you now to forgive me for anything and everything.
I ask you to forgive me now for anything and everything.
That I've ever done that was not pleasing to you.
That I've ever done that was not pleasing to you.
I acknowledge you as my personal Lord and Savior.
I acknowledge you as my personal Lord and Savior.
Come into my heart and live in me.
Come into my heart and live in me.
I am your child and you are my Father God.
I am your child and you are my Father God.
And Jesus is Lord of my life.
And Jesus is Lord of my life.
This I pray in the name of Jesus.
This I pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
We want to hear from you if you prayed that prayer, and we'll send you some things to help you. Emails, you can email me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. Pastor@bohmglobal.com, and I will answer your email. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Check out the different resources there and the hundreds of radio shows that we have on our website, bohmglobal.com. You can hear this show again in the next day or two right here on podcast, tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcast, the name of this show, Living the Good Life. Megan, do you have any final thing you want to say?
I do. You know, as we were praying that prayer, that let this season be your saving season.
Oh.
And what I mean by that is let your Father save you.
Yes.
And I just pray a blessing over all the listeners and you too, Pastor, and to Mom. I just so much appreciate being able to be on the air.
We appreciate you, Megan Kramer, and your mama, Betty Thomas. You are amazing, wonderful friends of mine and great assets to this ministry. God bless you. Go to church.
You too, babe.
And we're going to end again with It's the Messiah with Wynonna. We're glad every one of you have joined us today. And tell some people about the show every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m., right here on tantalknetwork.com. We are Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. This show is Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, along today with Betty and Megan from our radio team. It's the Messiah. It's what we're talking about this whole month in our series, Jesus Messiah. God bless every one of you. Call in your prayer requests. I mean, write them in. I'm sorry. Email at prayers@bohmglobal.com. Send in your prayer request. prayers@bohmglobal.com. God bless you. We'll see you again next week, same time, 3 p.m.
It's the Messiah. He's come at last.
Must have been something speaking the word of your Father. With the promise of life and peace forever. Must have been so. Walk on the streets of Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
With the sins of the world on the innocence of a lamb. Soon everyone will know it's the
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
China trade truce, Bush funeral services. I'm Ann Cates. President Trump has agreed to not pull the trigger on higher tariffs with China as talks continue.
The president's last meeting in Buenos Aires was a working dinner with Chinese leader Xi Jinping.
We'll be discussing trade, and I think at some point we are going to end up doing something which is great for China and great for the United States.
Nothing was finalized to halt the trade war between the two nations. However, in a show of good faith, Mr. Trump decided to hold off on a planned increase in tariffs for certain Chinese imports. They will stay at 10% and not jump to 25% in the new year, as he had threatened. In exchange, the White House says China will be buying more American goods and will take stronger action against fentanyl, a deadly opioid. Bob Costantini, Washington.
Former President George H.W. Bush will be honored at a state funeral Wednesday in Washington. One-time Secretary of State James Baker tells Fox News Sunday about Bush's final moments.
They made arrangements for all of his children to call in to in effect, tell him goodbye. And his last words, the last words George Bush ever said were, "I love you." And he said those words to 43, George Bush, President George Bush, 43.
Flags will also fly at half-staff for 30 days in honor of Bush. Cleanup continues in southern Alaska in the wake of the major earthquake that rattled Anchorage.
According to the Alaska Earthquake Center, more than 650 aftershocks so far, around 20 of those at magnitude 4 or higher.
I didn't want to go to sleep last night, afraid it was going to happen again.
Diane and Bill Coleman, like so many here, still on edge after riding out the quake in their Eagle River home of 47 years.
It was just a tremendous loud sound.
Even with their possessions crashing down around them, they never heard a sound over the roar of the quake. Stephanie Elam, Eagle River, Alaska.
I'm Ann Cates.